Hey, Robert Stark here. My guest for today, her name is Diva Sandichuta. Is that correct?
Navichuta.
Sandanavichuta. Or
Very, very long name.
you just go by Diva Sanda for short.
It's easier, right? It's easier to pronounce Diva Sanda. It's easier to American people to pronounce. And that alphabet, short an alphabet, is a long alphabet.
So we're going to get later on the show. We'll get to your current nightmare, but I think how we can start things off is tell us about your life story. And so you're originally from Lithuania.
Correct. I am from Lithuania, a very beautiful country. And our former president was head of Environmental Protection Agency in United States at once. But he was in charge of Environmental Protection, EPA, in United States. That we had a lot of nice and good and educated people from our country who served United States and helped to give something to that society of United States of America.
So what was your original, so what originally, why did you originally want to come to United States in the first place?
I had a business. I was a very successful businesswoman back in my country. I owned a retail store ambassador of United States in year of 2000, she issued me a visa to United States to come to for 10 years that I able to come travel to United States. And I had that visa. Few people were inviting me. They said, you are very successful. You're very bright, very intelligent, very smart. You will do very well in United States. You can make, you know, I am not a very materialistic person. Money helps to people, but it's not, you cannot buy love, health, joy in a life for money, but they are necessary sometimes. That some of my acquaintances from America, they said, you will do very well in United States. Come to this country. We need people like you. That at that time, what I heard from American people. That's why I came.
Would you say Lithuania was a poor country at the time you left around 2000?
No, I cannot say that Lithuania was a poor country. It was decent country, of course. Our government was changing at that time, and a lot of people were, you know, losing a lot of the wealth, and because of governmental changes in Lithuania. But when we were, you know, under communism, even under the Russians, I cannot say that we are a poor country. People were living very, very very decent lives, and we had very good education, we had very fine social programs, we have just religion was our suppressed. We are mostly Catholics, 80% of the Catholics in Europe, in Lithuania, and religion was suppressed, but we were living very, very decent, very nice life, and we had very nice childhoods. What and good education, very good education, very good universities, very good schools.
What was
very
the biggest
good teachers.
Biggest change you noticed when Lithuania became independent?
When Lithuania became independent, it was that a lot of things were taken by the corrupt people, by the people who had a physical power some way or had some criminal relations, and they were trying to take over a lot of our factories, industry, what what was hard, you know, for economy, for the country. They were taking apart everything and selling machineries to for nothing, for metal, and destroying jobs, destroying harmony, or that how to say in English, destroying peaceful people's lives, what they were living, and taking some livelihoods from the people also. Of course, was nice that you were borders start opening for people. That was a plus for our country. But what means with providing jobs and manufacturing and all our industry? What we had it very good manufacturers and people had very stable employment. They were tearing them apart, taking apart and giving to somebody who doesn't know how to operate them, and closing, shutting off everything. You know, losing the jobs.
And what were some of the major changes that happened when Lithuania joined the European Union in 2002? Was it 2004? I'm not sure. I think it was maybe was it 2004?
2004, I think so, yeah. But
okay.
Which was the first country of Baltic states which joined European Union was Lithuania. It was great, UNESCO stepped in our country. A lot of projects, European projects came. People start able to travel all over the Europe. We no needed a visas like before. We were needed a visas if we need to go to another European country. It was nice. It was great, I believe.
You came to the United States. What was your very first impression of the United States? Did you go to Chicago first?
Yes, I came to Chicago. I came to Lamont, and later in Chicago, I traveled for beginning. That I loved the nature. It's amazing. It's beautiful, beautiful country by nature. Very, very beautiful, a lot of monuments, a lot of beautiful parks, like Colorado, or Colorado has all the monuments. What was long time ago written in Seven Miracles of the World, like Grand Canyon, Wyoming, California has beautiful, beautiful parks, what formed by nature. Beautiful, landscape and a lot of nice, what, if you look at the country, it has a lot of nice nature parks, beautiful sceneries. But when later I encountered several people who live several bad people who live in this country that is, country is beautiful, but people who live in a country is not really are nice and doesn't doing correct things what in any civilized country people should do.
How would you say that the American people, the people you've met in America, are different than the people in Lithuania?
People doesn't have sincerity in United States, doesn't have closeness to each other. I don't know what they are taught from beginning to being fair of everything, even of the new friends, new people, or they taught to be, in big, big distance of everyone, not to be helpful, not to be sincere, welcoming, or warm. I cannot say that all the people are the same, but but many, many of my acquaintances, even who lived there, they experienced very, very same, very close, same feelings they had it about American people, that they more egoistical, more self-centered. A lot of times they don't telling the truth to the people and lying in a regular conversation. If you have that, what to talk when you end up in a, when you end up with all those later false accusations and slanders, and I learned that they like to create a false, a lot of false things about the another people. What never happened like that in Europe. Never saw that in Europe.
You would say that Americans don't like to help people who are down on their luck.
Not much, yes, not much.
And probably especially more so in especially in the big cities like Chicago or New York or L.A.?
Could be, yes, could be that. Very, very, very abrupt people, very abrupt, very mean, sometimes cruel behavior.
Yeah,
and,
because, I mean, I'm from L.A., Los Angeles, and I've noticed the same thing.
The same in Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So
that probably is all over the countries like that.
Yeah, all over the country. So talk about your life in America. And so it's when you first got here, it started off good. But talk about your life, and then you can get to the point where things really started to go bad for you.
Yes, when I came, everything was very beautiful to me. It seems like this pure heart when you come to the country, you don't know this all evil, what is being carried in here. And I remember a lot of nice, good people, a lot of intellectual people I like more. People who has a talent, and they told me I had a neighbors was Robert Kapustin. He was involved with NFL very strongly many years. He worked for NFL in United States, and he was very well known by the many reputable people. That he told me, Daiva, he said, be very careful because it's like mirage. And he put it in a question marks. It's a mirage, Chicago, and be very, very careful in the state of Illinois and all over United States. And I wish that I would listen to him, that maybe my life would be different. But because I was trusting people and I told the people are the same good and kind-hearted as I am, that all those people, as they were, you know, they took from me, they stole from me everything what I worked for in my life. And slandered me, you know, it created a horrible thing, created a false arrest with the police. Jailed me for not made any crime, when I never even did any crime, but they created a, they were capable to create a charge on me, and what is outrageous, abnormal to everybody who you say, in a, who thinks in a, any decent way, people cannot believe it. They said, they cannot believe it. And they were saying to me that many times I seems like you live in an aboriginal country between aboriginal people. It's like without no civilization, that how people from Europe, few people, American people even express it. You know, the same opinion about what they're doing here in United States. to the people.
And with the Chicago, so the Chicago police has a, I mean, I've never been to Chicago, but I've heard the Chicago police has a reputation for being the most, or at least one of the most corrupt police departments in the nation.
That's what I heard from many people when I told to them what happened to me, because I, several times I had at my own home, beautiful, very elegant home. I was working from home. I had a home-based business. I had a big project in a clothing industry, a wholesale project, import company, the same what I was doing back in Europe. And, you know, out of the sudden when the father of my daughter started fighting for custody of her through the courts and was going to the courts and lying to the courts. And every time when he was going to court and lying, court was siding with him and... court was siding with him every time, you know, he comes and saying untruthful things. Court ruling in his favor that he exhausted me very badly financially and physically and emotionally, that I was, you know, my sleepless nights. Later, myself preparing a petition going to courts and... it affected me very badly. I had a foreclosure on my condominium, and after that, when I foreclosed, I had it to rent from a people. And every time when I rented from a people, like a shared apartment, what they offer, I was paying to them. I gave them money. For some reason, they don't want to take checks. They want to cash. That I gave them cash. And when I had a few trips for my work, when I needed to leave, and every time when I come back, those people usually likes to go through belongings, to another people's belongings, and take everything, what they needed for them own, for own selves, not only to get rent.
Are your current issues,
yes.
Are your current issues you're having, do they have to do with the foreclosure, or do they have to do with the... your landlord you rented from more after that happened, your current problems?
My current issue is from a landlord, yes, where I was living. Where I was living and renting, it was from a landlord, yes. From a landlord where I rented an apartment, and I left it all my valuables, and... the place was not habitable during the winter, was very cold, furnace was not working, and I left it to the hotel. I left it to the hotel, and I was near to pay for the hotel.
So you weren't evicted. You were living, basically what happened is you were living in an apartment, and you went to stay at a hotel in the winter, and you're saying that the landlords stole your stuff when you were staying at the hotel.
Yes, yes, yes. He never evicted me. And when I came back, he took at everything. He took at my wallets. He took at my documents. He took at my identifications. My old clothing, my children's clothing, everything, my beddings, my silverware, cookware, my binders of my work, what was very essential to me because it's my livelihood. And I was needed those binders, those catalogs, brochures, business plans. He took it and he lied to police that he even doesn't know me. He doesn't know me, who I am. Besides that, I was explaining to the police that I lived there and I unlocked the doors with the key, what was given to me, and he gave me a lease, what he signed himself. Instead, that police held it to me for burglary to arrest them. They upside down, put the handcuffs on my hands for trespassing. That I trespassed in the apartment where I was living and where I was burglarized.
Were you charged, was it for burglary or for trespassing?
For trespassing. Why I am burglarized? Why burglary is committed towards me? A police arresting me for trespassing. To cover up themselves, probably. To cover up themselves and to, you know, abusing their own discretions, maybe, to say that way. That is abnormal. It's abnormal, it's outrageous.
Did you ever
when you go
to trial on those charges, or did they drop the charges?
No, I asked it. I went to the state's lawyers, and I said, please, you know, they took from me everything. Can you initiate charges against them? That they start sending me to another courthouse, and wherever you go, nobody cares. Not federal courthouse, not FBI, not state police. Nobody cares. They're sending you from one place to another place, and wherever you go is closed doors in front of you. And when I explained to the state's attorney, I wanted to talk with the supervisor of the state's attorney, that I was threatened in a courthouse that I will be arrested again in a courthouse. Because I wanted to talk with a state's attorney. What my opinion is normal thing to do. I wanted to talk, I wanted to explain, to show my receipts, to show my documents, my property, what was in that apartment, and to ask why you prosecuting me. For what? What doesn't make any sense to prosecute? Instead, they need to prosecute those criminal people, those landlords who is lying to the people, who is manipulating the people and manipulating a court system.
How? So the
like
landlords,
abusing the court system.
Do the landlords, do they have a lot of, are you saying they have a lot of influence with the police?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. Because everything is generated out of nowhere is even police doesn't wrote it that I live at that address on arrest report. When I told them my address, they said, no, this is not good, we not will write at this in a police report, we better will write at different address why I don't live even. And they wrote a totally different address on a arrest report when I was telling them that.
Are you currently under indictment for anything?
They prosecuting me for trespassing right now. They prosecuting me for trespassing for my own apartment. What was rented from a. People from who came from Arabic countries.
Where is the landlord from? Are they? You said they're from.
They are from one of Arabian, Middle Eastern countries. A countries who likes to fight. Who has a lot of violence? Where a lot of terror happens. That from where the landlords. That I'm sorry, I don't want to use this word, but that what I said to somebody in a court, that you becoming a partner with a terrorist. You know, it's just, you know, it's outrageous.
And what did they, what was their reaction in the court when you said that?
I didn't look at it.
They didn't respond?
I didn't look at it. Sorry.
Did they respond?
No. No response.
Would you say that the Chicago municipal government and the police there, would you say that they're racist or discriminate against whites?
It could be. It could be that how sometimes I feel, because could be that because we are from Europe, or could be that color. Of course, I am not a racist. To me, any color, all people are people, and all people should be treated the same and with respect and with. Because we're all people, we cannot choose our color, what we born in. But during the my daughter's custody battle, when I was going to court, I had it a lot of times, yes, from African American, not only African American, but and white was guards, a lot of remarks, horrible remarks towards me. And I used to be perfectly dressed, perfectly very good manners. I never had it any harsh words to them. I never said anything mean to them. I just was asserting my rights, and I experienced a lot of times I cannot use this word, like a conspiracy or something towards me, that every time I used to come to court, they were, you know, looking at me like I am not, doesn't belong here, that I shouldn't be here, and nobody no wanna listen to me and hear what I say. Even if I say very correct by law things, very correct by the, you know, court law, by the rules, by regulations, by, they were ignoring and behaving very, very, very harsh towards me. Very harsh, very cruel.
What reactions have you gotten from people? Have you asked for help or assistance from people? And is private, you say you found that a private charity or social services are not available. Would you say that's true?
Yes, yes. When I called it to several of those organizations, they said, we have no place, we cannot help, we have no place, we cannot help. And that's what most of the answers was, we cannot help. But was time when I had the money and I used to help many people, many organizations, you know. I was helping, I was feeding them, I used to buy food to the people. When I used to see people staying by the stores and they all pale and they don't have what to eat, I used to go to the store and buy food and give to them. And I didn't say not a word towards them, and I was very compassionate to the people paying. But when all this nightmare struck me, I realized that very, very little you can, or probably none, on what you can rely in this country, or you can ask for give you a hand to you know, to protect the last what you have.
And were you homeless? Were you homeless or on the streets at some point?
Say one more time, I'm sorry, Robert.
Were you homeless at some point?
Oh, when they, without eviction, took me out of the apartment, yes, I have no place to go. I was needed to go to stay in a hotel. I paid it out of my last money, what I have it saved. I paid it for hotel to stay, because I never in my life, that I wouldn't have it a home. I had it a very nice home in my country. I lived very, very decent life all my life. And to me was, I cannot, you know, it's not my character that I would, you know, would be forced to be on a street. It's abnormal. I cannot understand that. I was needed to pay a hotel, and hotels are very, very expensive. A lot of money cost, and is exhausted me very bad financially to, you know, to pay that. And
so was there a lawyer who took you off the streets and gave you shelter for a while?
Yes, she helped me. I call that I am thankful to her that she helped me to come and stay with her. Still I was able to sort all this nightmare what is caused by American people who stole from me all my valuables and stole my livelihood and slander me and created all those false accusations, not to mention the government officials who works in a Cook County, who works in a 555 West Harrison Street courthouse or Rolling Meadows courthouses, and who you know, participating with the criminals, you know, becoming a partners with the criminals instead of protecting honest, good people, good, hardworking people. They seems like partnering with the criminals.
So, for people in the audience, what do you hope to get from the people listening in the audience, and what could they do for the people who are listening?
Oh, very, very good question, Robert. I would like that people in United States would become more united towards each other instead of being harsh towards each other, and that they would protect people who could be valuable to this country instead of trying to rid away of them by the false accusations. Also, I would like to, ask maybe somebody would be interested to work with me. I have a very nice project for United States, or could be worldwide project, manufacturing women's, children's, men's apparel, what is amazing, amazing, beautiful, and very affordable to the people, and doesn't have any competition in United States, not much competitors, is that maybe somebody can work or join me in this project and help me to get back my all earnings, what was taken away from me in the United States.
You're saying you lost your import business when you were burglarized. That's how you lost your import business.
It's affected me, yes, because I cannot, all my documents are taken away from me, all my contracts, what was prepared, all binders, what was prepared to send to the buyer, was taken away from me, and I need to go to courts defending me for where I never commit any crime, and explain to them taking me away from my work, because I cannot, I need to travel, I was near to leave the country, I'm not able to leave the country even to do my work profoundly, and that is affecting me. It's affecting me affecting me morally, affecting me ethically. They start posting all the pictures all over the internet of my arrest when I am being robbed, and they're arresting me. It's embarrassment.
Was your situation was ever in the newspaper?
I was trying to connect with several reporters. I spoke with one of the news reporter, and he mentioned this is interesting. It would be very interesting story, but every time, several months, I tried to connect and reach them out. Nobody responded to me. I didn't get it, not one response in an email. I didn't get it, not one response from a newspaper reporter that they would put it that in the newspaper. What many, many people who heard my story, they said, this is you can write a book and make a movie out of what happened to you.
So this is basically your first media appearance.
Yes, it is, Robert. It is first time when I speak publicly. Yes.
So I can I'll put up your email address, and so if people want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, I would be very thankful if that will help. I would be very, very thankful, and I would have a lot of more to say, you know, because we have so little time, but it's much, much more what is not said by me today is I have a lot of more details, a lot of more to say.
Well, I have more time, so if you want to get into some of those details, just go ahead if you want to get into those details.
You're saying right now or next time?
Yeah, right
if
now.
We can talk one more.
I have about, we can go on like another 10 minutes. If you want to just talk about the details, go ahead.
Is another event that I had it in 2012 where I am staying in a hotel what is paid by my friend who left the United States, and he left the United States with the same feeling like I feel right now. He said it's beautiful country, but people are horrible. People are horrible. It's no democracy. You cannot speak even freely here. And he was a very successful person. He ordered to me a hotel because I had a foreclosure on my condominium. And why he ordered me a hotel, and I was staying for 10 days in a prepaid hotel, I get an arrest for trespassing in a hotel.
Go to jail?
They kept me, they were prosecuting me for 2 years, and judge, I paid it over $10,000 to the attorney who was committing a malpractice and lying to the court, doesn't go into the court, and I was placed in a jail for 30 days. For paid hotel, what my friend paid at $3,000 for 10 days of stay in a hotel, and I am being arrested by the police officer for trespassing in a hotel what was paid.
Is it a hotel or your apartment? I'm confused about that.
In 2012, it happened before my daughter's custody trial. Before my daughter's custody trial, it was a hotel. And because I mentioned to them that it's very dirty room, probably they retaliated towards me, and they called the police on me.
They stole your stuff from the hotel because an apartment, you have more rights than a hotel. In a hotel, they can just come in anytime they want to clean. So your stuff was stolen from a hotel.
No, my belongings were stolen from an apartment.
So the hotel situation, is it a different case?
Correct. It was in 2012. In 2012, in June. It was paid hotel. Paid hotel. I was preparing documents for my daughter's custody trial, and I was arrested for trespassing in a hotel. And they put it on me resisting arrest charges while I was standing in front and looking at my luggage. that they found out that I resisting arrest. Why are you looking at my 8 luggages where I had money inside and I had the documents and my valuables inside? I was looking to protect that nobody would damage or take it. Then police wrote it that I was resisting arrest while looking at my own property, standing and looking at my own property, why they fabricating an arrest towards me to gain maybe a better rank in the police, in some career, or just to harm another person, peaceful or goodwill person.
And you were saying the loss, it's about $300,000 worth in losses.
From the apartment burglary, yes, where they burglarized me, yes, I have much more because my work, a lot of my work, binders, what is very, very time essential. My all potential earning income was in an apartment. A lot of sentimental values, what is, you know, has no price even. My children drawings, my clothes, what I designed and was custom made by the very fine tailors back in Europe, what you cannot remake even. They took it from me. That is much, much, much more than $300,000. Of United States dollars is much, much more.
Are you able to present solid evidence that it was the landlord who did it, or is it more? Is it
I do.
Your word is you have a solid like physical evidence.
Yes, because he admitted over the phone and even in my presence when I went to an apartment, an evidence technician came. After it, he was saying, I will pay to you. I said, I will take you to court. He said, I will pay to you if the judge will tell me to pay. I will pay to you. He was saying in a kind of, mean way towards me. And later, one more person when called it to him, I was asking to call maybe I tried it, like in any normal country in Europe, people try to talk and help to each other to help to recover the property. It's nothing illegal. And I was kindly asking another people, can you help me to make a call to him, to ask him, can he return the property? That he start telling to the people stories, making up a story that he saw two men carrying everything from an apartment, that logically, if he saw somebody carrying from an apartment, why he doesn't call it a police, right? If I see that somebody carrying from people carrying belongings, valuables from neighbor or another person home, I would look at after it, and if I know that those people were in an apartment and they didn't order any moving things, that I would just for security, I would call police, right, and ask them to talk with those carriers as he described it, and he doesn't did that. That what you think is of course, that he was who was organizing all this theft, all this burglary. Yes, nobody else could be.
So, before I get to end the show, do you have any other points you would like to add? Add for audience.
I would like that, it would help, I don't know, of course you're in California, Robert, you're in Los Angeles, I am in Chicago, but I spoke with people around who lived at that address. It was 4922 North Kedzie Avenue in that building, and I found that students who study in Northwestern university, the campus around, and they were living in that building. And they saw actually people, three men, including the landlord, loading boxes in SUV, in a big SUV. Several times they were loading for all day or 2 days, boxes or full of the things. That would be very, very helpful if those people can come and, you know, come over the justice and, you know, maybe, you know, it's hard for me to say that ask for the state to help to investigate, because I see that state is ignoring. They don't wanna help.
Well, you see it,
you know,
not just ignoring, but you see the state as the part of the problem itself.
Yes, yes. Is this the right words to say in English? Yes. Yes. They part of the problem itself, and they don't investigating when they had detectives, hundreds of detectives where they paying salaries and they don't doing the work properly. I don't know how much more lower authorities can fall in a country that to work such a negligently and such a maliciously, such a abruptly towards the helping the victims.
Try to press charges against the landlord yourself? Did you try that?
I tried it, yes. I went it several times in a court. I went it to the police and I was begging. I said, look, I found it, a camera. A camera is next to the building in a school. You just need to get that footage and you can see it. It's not a little thing that they carry just only one tablespoon. They carried four rooms of the belongings, full four rooms of the belongings. And, you know, they said, no, we not will do that, we not will write at that, we not will watch that, we not will do that. It's a nightmare. It's a big, big nightmare. And when I tried to obtain myself, they don't want to give it to me. They're saying that police should come. And several times when I went to the police, I was treated like a criminal. That I am a criminal, not those burglars who committed this crime. That, you know, that a victim is a criminal. That what I see, that what they're doing in the state of Illinois or Chicago area more.
So you would say that, yeah, Chicago and Illinois is one of the most, would you say it's the most corrupt place in the nation, United States?
Could be from my experience, what I experience in here, yes. What I experience at horrible things, horrible, inhuman things, yeah.
So, Diva, so I'll put out your information and I'll ask people in the audience to. So ask them if they can contact you personally. I'd like to thank you for being on our show and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I don't know if we can change something. I wish that we could, but at least to give some insight what's happening in a courtrooms, what's happening in a people's lives, in a decent people's lives, you know, in Illinois. It is, but I see, you know, when I reading myself, I am very, very sensitive towards another people, that when I reading myself, what they doing towards another people also in another state, it's a nightmare also. The police is killing people without any reason, that arresting people for standing for, you know, peaceful protests, what all over in the world you can do that, in all in other countries. This wouldn't be a crime. where they're making a crime of everything.
Yeah, I mean, one more point I'll make is this is happening in the United States. A lot of Americans will think that they'll talk about how the police are really corrupt in, say, places like Eastern Europe. But, I mean, this is happening in the United States, and a lot of people still, I mean, this is not a free country, definitely.
No, this is a nightmare. It's a big, big nightmare. And like I said previously, one of my friends who used to know me, and I never was in my life, even doesn't have a thought to do any crime. I was very, very hardworking. I headed a business since young days. I was an example to everybody in my country. Everybody was respecting me. I was treated here by the officials, by American people, like I am, I don't know, I wouldn't treat an animal like that. And one of my friends, when I started telling in Europe, I called it to England, I called it to Lithuania, to my acquaintances, friends who used to know, they said, what is wrong with that country? What kind of, another girlfriend said, it seems like you live in between Aboriginal people. Aboriginal, uneducated people country. That's what people were expressing them thoughts about United States.
And, yeah, it's absolutely true. Well, Diva,
I'm sorry.
I'd like to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you as well. And, you know, I just, you know, I said, God, you know, I would like to just, you know, leave it out of here. To avoid all these horrible things, but my daughters is here, and that's what I worry the most, because to raise a children in this type of the society is not like I wanted to raise my children, not what I wanted to teach my children, to, you know, to be not to be harmful to another people. That's what scares me the most, how children being raised there, that they becoming, when they adults, they doing so much harm towards another people, towards another good people, that they have no humanity. Because, like if I would be a police officer and I know that a person is burglarized, how I can put a handcuffs on that person's hands and arrest them for trespassing, to me would sound is abnormal. To me looks is, I don't have even words what to say, but it's most outrageous things what could be done. That when you go to that person at, you know, going back to that person, how that person was upbringing of that person, how this person was raised, seems to me that was very, very poorly raised. If they have no morals and don't understanding towards the people, towards the ethics, towards the values, and towards the values doing them and ethics doing them jobs. Precisely and honorably, is you know, how to say, giving me a lot of questions, giving me a lot of bad feelings, to raise the children in this type of society where, later when they're growing up, they're causing so much harm towards the people, lying, falsifying things, taking from people things. It shouldn't be like that. I'm sorry, did I explain correctly, Robert, because, English is my not first language. But, hopefully that you understood what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I can understand. I think most people.
It's scared to raise their children in this type of environment. Is that what is big, most biggest, is frightening me, to to raise the children in this kind of environment where they, you know, they experience the pain of mother being prosecuted when she doesn't did any crime, where they, you know, experience all those brutality of the authorities and not tolerance between the people, where people has no tolerance towards another people. Instead of being tolerant, they are cruel towards another people, what shouldn't be in any decent society, in any decent country. That, you know, is very, very big question to trust the country where you can raise your children in a good manner. And
we're out of time, so thank Diva Sanda for being on. That's all we have for today's show, so take care, and we'll be back with you next time.